the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will hope continually. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. O God, from my youth you have taught me. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The old Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee from them. This is the word of the Lord. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer awaits for the precious fruit of the earth. Be patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is coming at the door as an example of suffering and patience. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John that you hear and see, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. Here endeth the gospel.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Commentators throughout the millennia have spilt a lot of ink on our gospel text for this morning. On the face of it, it is a rather shocking text. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" John asks Jesus through his disciples, "Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah, or should we look for another?" Shouldn't John know the answer to that question better than anyone else? It appears as if John the Baptist, the prophet come to prepare the way for the Messiah, is doubting Jesus' identity as the Christ of God. Many commentators, including most of the church fathers, argue that John did not doubt. They offer a variety of explanations. For instance, that John did not ask the question for himself, but for the sake of his disciples and the crowds gathered around Jesus. This is certainly plausible. If anyone wants to hold to that opinion, I do not object. Certainly, this could be a way for John to point away from himself and point to Jesus. That is his mission. That is his vocation. That is his calling from God. John himself says he must increase and I must decrease. And the day is swiftly coming when John's disciples can no longer cling to him, but must find the one to whom they should cling. John will soon die at Herod's hands, but he will not rise as the first fruits of all the dead. It is Christ's death and resurrection that will defeat death and guarantee resurrection for all who believe in him. But I think that he who is a prophet, and more than a prophet, indeed he who among those born of women there is no one greater, could have doubted. And this should not be a scandal to us if he did doubt. In fact, what a comfort it would be to us who struggle with doubt to know that even John the Baptist himself had those same struggles. And though I am not entirely sure that this is the case, I think it is the more interesting reading of the text, and so let us explore it this morning. How could it be that John doubted? John is the first man to recognize Jesus as Emmanuel, leaping in his mother's womb as Mary approached. It is John who proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lord himself spoke about John to the prophet Malachi, saying, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." It is John that Christ himself speaks of when he says, "A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." How could John doubt? First, we must think about the question, how does one become a prophet? A prophet is a prophet because God chose them to speak his word. They are people, just like you and I, infected with sin, just like you and I. They are not ubermensch. They are not supermen. They suffer all our human foibles and weaknesses. Being people, and people being sinners, and sinners being dumb, prophets are totally able to doubt, even when God speaks directly to them and performs miracles through them. Moses, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, has his moment of doubt in God's promises. He cries out to God, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people Israel? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." Elijah, after he had defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he doubted, he fell into despondency. The prophet Jeremiah also despairs in his persecution. "Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed." In times of suffering, many of the prophets cry out, "How can this be, Lord? How can you allow your servants to suffer so?" And let us remember that when John sends his disciples to Jesus, John is in prison. He is suffering for speaking out against Herod's marriage to his brother's wife. Second, John prophesied about what the Messiah would do, and we went over that last week. Remember the preaching of John the Baptist. He proclaims that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But he also preaches that Christ will come as a judge. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff you will burn with unquenchable fire." Indeed, John's preaching is much like Isaiah's preaching before him. There is gospel, in our Old Testament text. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. But there is also law. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come to save you. Vengeance and recompense, those are the words of judgment. Isaiah also says that a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. Jesus has come. The Messiah is here, and yet John languishes in prison for calling out Herod's sin. He is in the grasp of a wicked, cowardly, and decadent king. Far worse than any ravenous lion or beast, John's execution is fast approaching. And what is Jesus doing? He's feeding people, he's preaching, he's healing, but there is no wrath and there is no judgment. Could the promised king, the son of David, truly have come if the wicked king is still seated on his throne? Herod Antipas was an impostor, an usurper. He was not of the royal line. For crying out loud, he is only of partial Jewish descent. And he is certainly not a very good Jew as far as practice goes. He's only a puppet. He has his throne because of his willingness to serve Rome and serve the interests of Rome over and above the interests of his own people. So it is that the Holy Land is ruled by a pagan emperor sitting on a throne in Rome. We can imagine John sitting in prison and wondering, where's the fire, Jesus? Where's the judgment? The servant of the Lord suffers and the wicked prosper. Should we expect another? Jesus answers John saying, go and tell John what you hear and see. Jesus says that my words and actions testify for themselves. They identify me. Hear and see who I am. And then Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus's answer is emphatic. Yes, John, I am the one to come. I am the Messiah, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus says elsewhere, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And here's the remarkable thing about the way that God works. Even in his doubt, John ends up testifying to the identity of Jesus. When Christ was born of Mary, he did not come first as judge. God, in his great mercy, sent his son to take the judgment upon himself. Jesus came to proclaim the mercy of God, to earn the forgiveness of sins and establish the kingdom of God through forgiveness. If the Messiah had come and cleansed the land of all the wicked, well, there would be nobody left. This is his first baptism of fire that we spoke about last week. That Christ came to take the children of this world and unite them with himself in his death through baptism, so that they may be born again in a baptism of water and the Holy Spirit. He came to call them to repentance and draw them to himself by his word. He came to give them his body and his blood as a sacrifice. Through the suffering of the Son at the hands of wicked men, God has established his kingdom. And blessed is the one who is not offended by it. And people are offended by God's coming and grace. When the innocent suffer and the wicked prosper, it is natural to cry out, why, God, do you not come in judgment? Why do you let this go on? Christ himself speaks this way when he is confronted by the sins of men. Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth and would that it were already kindled. But that time has not yet come. Was John's prophecy wrong? Certainly not. Christ is the judge. The Lamb has come in mercy. He comes to us now in mercy, through word and through sacrament. But he will come again in wrath. When John prophesied, he prophesied like all the prophets do. What he saw as a near event and a future far event seemed to be telescoped together. Again, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. One gets the impression that biblical prophecy is much like looking at a mountain range from a distance. John saw two events. The first mountain peak was Christ's incarnation of the Virgin Mary, when he came in mercy to offer himself up for the sins of the world. And thus John proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The second peak is that second advent, when the Son will come in his glory and power to judge the living and the dead. From John's view, just like when we look at a mountain range from a distance, the two peaks look like they are right next to each other. But now, from a different vantage point, we see that there is a great distance between them. The Lord promises to return, and he is patient, as the Apostle Peter says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. John the Baptist's prophecy will be fulfilled. The Lord who came in mercy in his first advent will come again in judgment in his second. John, not the Baptist, but the apostle, relates his vision of that day in Revelation. "I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and freeman hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Who is able to stand on that day? Who can survive the wrath of the Lamb? Rejoice, brothers and sisters, in the mercy of our Lord, and rejoice in his patience, for on that day you will stand. Behold, the Lamb who will come in wrath has already come in mercy and spilled his blood for the sins of the world. This is the time that I wish it were a communion Sunday, for I could then point at the altar and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You are among the saints who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. For you there is no wrath. It was all poured out on Jesus, and his life was poured out for you. For you are covered in his righteousness, and for you there is only grace. Amen. Please rise for the offertory. was commanded by the Lord to receive gifts from the people for the beautification of the sanctuary. Everyone whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits was moved brought a contribution to the Lord, to be used in the Lord's house and all its services. Since the Lord has taught us in his holy word that everything is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, it is fitting that we bless and sanctify these candlelighters for use in God's holy house. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. O God, you have directed us to bring offerings to your glory. We implore you to bless these candlelighters. Grant that they may reflect our love for you, benefit your church, and bring joy to those who use them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless these candlelighters and those who use them. Amen. Please rise for the prayers of the church. Father of all mercies, the visitation of your Son has enlightened the darkness of our hearts in every corner of creation. Hear us as we pray in his name and according to his will. O God, you have sent messengers to prepare the way of your Son's coming. Grant us ears to hear and hearts to believe the words delivered by pastors and all who bear your word. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you have instituted the home to be a refuge for husbands and wives, and a place of growth and safety for children. Look with favor upon the homes of our land, and grant that faith might be delivered from one generation to the next. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous Lord, you rule over all things in heaven and on earth. Until that day when your Son comes in glory to usher in his kingdom, give wisdom and insight to all leaders, that we may live peaceable lives. Defend those who serve in our armed forces, especially Sean, Austin, and Thomas. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, the prophet Isaiah looked for the day when blind would see, deaf ears would hear, lame legs would leap, and mute tongues would sing, until the final day of restoration draw near to all who have requested our prayers, especially Harold, Esther, Kathy, Jim, Pam, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia, and give them healing according to your gracious will. Bind up those who grieve, that they may look for the resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy. With great jubilation, O Lord, we rejoice at your Son's gracious visitation in his body and blood, in the fellowship of this altar. Grant us faith to receive him worthily as he comes in this foretaste of the Lamb's feast. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your love invites us to rejoice in your goodness in every circumstance of life. Teach us the joy that comes from knowing your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and eagerly expecting his gracious visitation. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 All being here this morning for the third Sunday of Advent as we continue to approach that joyous Christmas season with the birth of Christ our Savior. Our children are hard at work preparing for the Christmas recital and learning their songs. Parents, please keep in mind that there is practice available at 1 to 2:30 on Saturday, if you're at all able to get your kids here for that so that they can practice, as well as Sunday mornings, and not this Wednesday, but other Wednesdays as well. And of course, they've all been handed out their little song sheets too, so you can help them memorize their hymns at home as well. The Christmas tree bags are covered. Thank you for all who donated to that. And we also want to give a special thanks to the anonymous donor who donated our new candle lighters for the use by the acolytes. The old ones were quite old and sort of falling apart, and perhaps the top would fall off and light the altar on fire or some such thing. So we're thankful to have new ones, and hopefully they serve us well for another 50 years. I looked up, I was trying to find what the churchly word for candle lighters was, and I couldn't find it, and apparently since the 15th century, they've been called candle lighters. Who knew? I was expecting it to be a Latin word, because everything else is in Latin, but candle lighters it is. We have our final Foundations of the Faith class today after the service, so please come to that if you have been participating so far. And then the Ladies' Aid Christmas Party, December 13th at 6 p.m. Please RSVP today in bold with an exclamation mark so that they know how many people to prepare food for. It is being catered. It's going to be delicious. We're going to be talking about Santa Claus a bit, so you don't want to miss out on that, ladies. So please RSVP. Again, the Higher Things Youth Gathering this summer, let me know if you are interested in that. Please be in contact. If you have knowledge about what's going on in January that needs to be in the Chronicles, please let Natanya know so she can make sure that is in there. Any critical announcements that have not been shared? Okay, depart in peace.